Yeah, if you want to pass that around. Unless they, well, they're coming up here, actually. If you want to give to the mission buddy barrel, just bring it to Pastor Jason. He can go down the aisle. How about that? And when you get to the back, you got your kids' church can be dismissed as you go with Pastor Jason. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 10 for those of you who've already given. That's okay. We like noise. Kinda, sorta. John chapter 10, we're going to be reading in verse 1 through 5. We'll also jump ahead to 14 to 16. Then we'll also jump ahead to 24 and go from there. So, amen. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Voice of strangers. Jump ahead to verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. That is a really awesome passage. Because if you understand the context, Jesus is speaking to Jews, the Israelites, if you will. And he says to them about the following the shepherd, they know his voice and they get that. And then he says something so radical as to say there's other sheep out there that aren't part of your family. They're not part of the genealogy of the descendants of Abraham. And they are also going to be a part of the same flock. Isn't that pretty cool? I like that. Jump ahead to verse 24. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Did I give more verses in that chapter? Or did I stop right there? Yeah, do we go through? Let me read that then. I wasn't sure if I gave that all to you or not. Verse 31, it continues, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. We were just reading in Sunday school class in chapter 8 how he said, before Abraham was, I am. And that was only God can say that, so they wanted to kill him. Well, now they're going to try again. Verse 32, Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. Now this is just a play on words that Jesus is kind of teasing them with. Verse 36, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. Amazing. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this word. Thank you for the privilege it is to read your word, to be able to be reminded of your words of truth and how this all played out. Thank you for using parables and stories that help us to get a picture of what it is that you are trying to get us to learn about the shepherd and the voice, hearing, understanding. I just pray, God, that you will minister as only you can to our hearts as we talk about your speaking to us. Lord, help me to speak your words. But Lord, also help us to hear them as if they come from you specifically, for that is my desire. And I pray we all hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I started a three-part series, just a short series about God speaking, that we can hear God, that he literally talks. And I shared just a little testimony of my own life as a little boy hearing the voice of God. And it was normal. It was not strange. It was certainly within the realms of what I considered an everyday average life. Not completely comprehending or understanding that not every child had that experience. But because Jesus was a part of my home in a very special way, I found myself to be truly blessed to believe in God early, even though I had not prayed a prayer of salvation. I didn't quite fully grasp that I needed to be saved, but I did grasp that God was alive and well. And because of that childlike faith, I prayed and I heard him. And I believe when Jesus was speaking to the families and the disciples, when they brought children, that he was telling them, listen, they know me, they hear me, like you guys apparently don't. Bring them to me. And he encouraged them to be like a child. Now, children are certainly not perfect. How many recognize that you don't have to teach your child how to be naughty? They come by it quite naturally. We do, however, have to be taught how to be good, basically going against what we instinctively want to do. We want to take an extra cookie. We want to lie when we get caught. We want to do these things. And children are notorious for being naughty. And yet, as they are raised in homes with great care and boundaries and discipline and love, they find themselves making good choices. Yet, we're still sinners that need salvation. But as children, we hear God's voice and we think that's normal, and it is. Many people have shared their testimony of salvation as adults after years of suffering and sin and just turmoil, and they will tell you things that kind of blow your mind, that when they were children, they heard the voice of God. And yet, as they grew, they walked away from it. For whatever reason, that's what we do. God does speak. We talked about the truth of God speaking to you and me, and that we can hear him. And I shared testimonies as a young man after having been saved, hearing God speak to me in some of the strangest things and strangest ways. One so silly as shutting off the water for the horses, and I didn't do it. I didn't listen. I had grown accustomed to not listening, and so I just went on my merry way and ended up with a lake the next day. Had I listened to the voice of God, it wouldn't have happened, although now I learned a great lesson that's still with me. So sometimes God uses our mistakes for his glory. Amen? I also spoke about things that will interfere with your ability to hear him. Sin is certainly one of those things. Absolutely, if you don't know him as a personal Savior, you cannot hear him in the ways that you can as a believer. But children, for whatever reason, seem to have a unique connection there. But if you want to hear God's voice as you walk through life, you need to know him. Because if you're not careful, and most people struggle, they follow the wrong shepherd. And they end up being told that their father is not God the Father, but the devil. And that's what we find in John chapter 8. Last week we talked about safeguards to hearing God's voice. And some of the stuff I said was really, really practical, common sense stuff. If you are on a heavy medication, don't believe that you've heard God's voice until you get it verified by somebody. I mean, that's just common sense, right? But believe it or not, it has to be said. God will affirm and reaffirm that he speaks. Over and over and over again in my life, I've had those confirmations, and many of you can share the same, that you've heard the voice of God, you believed it was him, you didn't say anything to anybody, and yet, boom, there it was. You know, this morning we have a couple really cool confirmations that God is speaking. We had songs that were picked out about breaking the chains, about being free from sin and all that goes with it, and we didn't pick those out on purpose. God just simply did his thing, and there they are. And we even had a song that fit beautifully with a baby dedication. And I think that's probably why the Holy Spirit had Dean switch the order of the song. Because it was there. It was like screaming at us, baby dedication. And it just fit. That's what God does. It affirms, reaffirms. We didn't even have this day picked out. This was supposed to happen last month. But we moved it, and boom, everything's clicking right along because God knows the end from the beginning from the end. And as we're talking about Sunday school class, what's the big topic of the discussion? Hearing the voice of God, that the shepherd's sheep know his voice, and they follow him. But if you don't follow the good shepherd, you're following the other shepherd, and they basically were told, your father is the devil. And that fits with what we're referring to in a chronological order of a three-part series ending on hearing the voice of God. And the final say is this, God speaks. That is not a coincidence. Believe it or not, I don't look at my Sunday school curriculum and base my message on it. It just happens to fit because God does these things. He speaks. The question I have for you is, are you listening? And he speaks in so many different ways. He speaks through songs. He speaks through Sunday school curriculum. He speaks through the dedication of a child. And he puts it all together as only he can. God is speaking. So I challenge you, tune in and listen closely. What are some of the ways that God speaks? Well, let's just go through a few practical ones. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through verse 25. I end short of going into all the specific sins that God gives us over to. If you want to on your own read that, it's pretty sad, but it's definitely the day that we live. I mean, they had these things going on back then, but it seems to be amping up in a huge way. But Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it starts this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Think about it. God is speaking through heaven, through creation, if you will, and what are men doing? They're trying to suppress it. Don't listen to this. Verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Now that's really upsetting. There's a lot of people that are being deceived that we're all just animals that have evolved over time. Our children are being told this. People are believing that you can't believe in God and creation and believe in science, that the two don't go together. And that is one of the biggest lies ever told. To be honest with you, science is our best friend. Scientific proof of anything shows us that there is order. That it's not all chaos. You can actually calculate, I'm going to speak to the men for a moment, sorry ladies, but you can calculate the speed of a bullet out the end of a rifle barrel and the coefficiency, which is the shape of the bullet and the aerodynamic ability of that boat tail bullet to travel at 3,200 feet per second and 147 grain bullet, and you can get it down to a very specific like millisecond of a time and placement, all according to science. It's not random. And if you have a really long-range shooting ability, you actually have to take into account the curvature of the earth and the rotation of the earth. Can you imagine? Now, all the ladies say, boring. And all the guys go, oh, give me more. Right? Think about all the science and what there is, and you just take it for granted. You get into a car and you turn the ignition over, it goes vroom. Why? Because of order in the universe. We had a time change this morning. For those of you who that came to Sunday school early, ha ha. There was this time, I'll have to admit it, back in Clark, South Dakota, I told Tina, let's not tell anybody. And everybody will be at Sunday school. And I think I got voted out on that idea. But anyway, yeah, it's fun. But we can calculate the day. I can look at my phone and tell you exactly at what moment, what minute the sun's going to set. Because there's order in the universe. And I could go on, and I could go on, and I can go on. Creation speaks to the power of the Creator and that He is absolutely in control. And yet, the men in this world and the women that believe that we don't want to follow any God will suppress the truth even though they know they're lying. Do you realize there is no Neanderthal? Never has been. It was disproved. And yet we still have it in the textbook. There's a half-created, supposedly half-man, half-ape type creature that they've put together by scientific archaeological evidence, and it was found out that the only thing on the entire structure that was human was the skull at the very top of the head. Everything else was fabricated. They literally created their own version of what they thought was a half-man, half-monkey and got caught. But it's being taught in our school books. One of them was created with a pig tooth to make it look like it was half-evolved mouth. But he was caught too. But it's still in the textbook. What are we doing in this world? We're lying and we're lying and we're lying. There are so many things that are true in our creation, and it screams of God's great plan. It's absolutely scientifically provable that our earth cannot be much older than 6,000 years. That can be proven with science, archaeology, and all that there is in this world today at our fingertips, and yet you're being told it's 6.4 billion or trillion or who knows, gazillion years now. Because if you put it far enough out there, people will believe it. All of creation is saying there is a God. Let me continue reading. I realize I got a little sidetracked. Verse 20, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. In other words, you can say, well, I never heard about God. I never heard anything about creation or anything about Jesus. But you are without excuse because God's creation actually shows us that He exists. Many stories have been told of people who began praying to the Creator, believing somebody must have made this. It couldn't have happened by accident. They started praying to the Creator, and because of their faith in the unnamed God, He brought about the knowledge of salvation, and they are born-again believers today. This happens, and it happens a lot. Science itself exists because of the order in the universe, and all of it points to God. Verse 21, although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. This is a great explanation of Darwin, by the way. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God has given our world over to the depravity of our minds. There's so much I could say about that. Never in my wildest imaginations would I have ever thought that men would be running with women in sports calling themselves women. Never in my wildest imaginations. Winning track meets. Are you kidding me? This transgender movement has warped us beyond comprehension. I thought it was bad enough when I had to worry about my daughters going into a bathroom in Target and there might be a man there that feels like a woman that day. Or vice versa. Let's be honest, it can go both ways. And now I'm being told there's not just two genders. I think the last I heard was something in the 70s. At one time it was 50-something. And I'm thinking, what in the world? My mind is completely just, wow, what? Well, what is this? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's this right here that we just read. That we are so warped in our thinking that we cannot have God, therefore we've been given over to our depravity, and now there's no end to our insanity. Somebody posted yesterday, I thought it was some kind of a tongue-in-cheek, almost humor. It's interesting about all the genders there are, and yet there's only two that you are having surgery to become. You're either becoming from a man to a woman or a woman to a man. What about all the other genders? Right? It's insanity. That's all there is to it. It's a spiritual depravity. It's blinded us from truth. If we were supposedly billions of years old, this world would not exist because the sun is getting smaller. The earth is spinning slower. All of these things have been scientifically proven. If you add billions of years to the sun in the capacity of how small it's shrinking as far as time goes on, literally losing its potency, if you add billions of years, it would suck us in by its powerful gravitational pull. That's one problem. The other is it'd be so hot it'd literally just burn us up like dust. And yet scientists are trying to tell you that this world has been here for 6.7 trillion years. It doesn't add up. Over and over and over and over, I can show you scientifically using archaeological findings as well as the things that we understand in science and show you that it's all lies. But we are suppressing the truth with all of our might that we can possibly bring together. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 19. Turn with me to Psalms 19. This is a psalm of David. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth and the words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is in from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." That is just a really poetic way of saying the sun rises and descends. It's a sunrise, it's a sunset, and it goes around and continues to go around. And the circuit of it all is just amazing. So many different places that we can look and see the hand of God. He speaks through creation. Over and over again. There are so many cool things about creation and all of how nature works because God made it that way. They have never yet found a half-formed fossil of a creature from one animal to another. Never been found. But they sure have some really cool drawings, don't they? It's impossible what the evolutionist claims to be true. Just one example I'll share with you just for fun, and I realize I'm taking way too much time on this, but for some reason, it's going to happen. Here it is. Anybody ever hear of a desert toad? It's some kind of a horned toad that lives in the desert. Anybody hear of those things? I'm going to go into some biology stuff here, so bear with me. But the horned toad, male and female, they have a weird way of reproducing. It is strange. Literally, the female toad excretes something on top of her back in a fluid form, and the male toad gets on top of her back, and he excretes some fluid from his body, and the two fluids mix. Okay? This is how they reproduce. It's not like the normal animal reproducing, right? And so you have this toad in the desert where it's dry, excreting a fluid on its back, and the male toad excretes a fluid on her back, and the two mix, and then she grows a skin around the fluid in just a short period of time, which is absolutely necessary in the desert, because if it doesn't put it around this fluid, the fluid dries up and there's no reproduction. But it's like a skin, see-through-ish bubble on top of the toad. And it expands as the fertilization took place, and little toads are underneath the sac. And they turn into little baby toads on her back. You can look this up. Go to your google.com, whatever things you want to do, and study the desert toad. It's weird. And when they get big enough to survive out in the elements, they burst out the skin and little toads come out. That's how they reproduce. Isn't that really... Now, how many agree that's just gross? That's just plain gross. But let me ask you this, scientist who believes in evolution, how did that happen? Did the female toad back in the day when it came from the sarpupial... I've never said that word. Is that a real word? I'm going to coin that phrase right there. Sorry, those of you online. Whew. So anyway, and you too. Whatever that fluidy, watery, mucky muck was, and this toad comes out into the desert, says, oh, I don't like the water. I want to go in the dry land. And she makes her way into the dry land, and some other toad happens to be just like her, comes along with her, and they say, hey, we should have babies. Okay, well, how are we going to do this thing? It doesn't work that way. There's no possible way, scientifically, biologically, and all of all creation, for two toads to come together and create babies the way they do without having been created that way. They had to be that way from the beginning. There's no possible evolution going on here. And that is one of hundreds of examples. Hundreds. That the scientific community doesn't want you to know. And it breaks my heart that we have a majority of children and high school age people that don't believe in creation. They believe the lies they hear at school. It's lies. And then that seeps into the church, and now you got people that think of the age day theory, and it's all garbage. God made the earth. He created the animals just as they are. If anything has happened at all, and this can be shown evident and true, if anything at all has happened, is we've devolved through time, not evolved. We have not become stronger and healthier, not without medicine. Go back to the 1920s. How would you like to live then? 1880s, let's go there, where the average lifespan of a man was about 40. I'm way past that now, doing well. I'm almost 50. Woo! The truth of the matter is we've not gotten better. If anything, we've gotten weaker, more full of disease. And the animals are similar in so many ways. Job, I might end up hanging this thing up sooner than I planned, but that's okay. Job chapter 38. I'm not going to go through all of Job chapter 38, 39, 40, and 41. I'm not going to do that. Never did plan on going through all of it, but I wanted to give you a knowledge and an understanding that Job questioned God because of the turmoil and the challenges that he faced. And God came back with some questions for him to answer. And we're just going to read a small portion of that, verses 1 through 21. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it?" Now think about this. We are still discovering how vast our universe is. The Hubble telescope is finding things that we never thought were out there. We thought our galaxy was this big, and it's beyond comprehension. And we're still finding more. This was written way, way back with Job. One of the oldest letters or Bible verses in the entire Bible, and God is explaining to him, "I determine the measurements of all the universe. Where were you, Job?" And we're still discovering how big it is. Let that sink in. "On what were its bases sunk, and who laid its cornerstone, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it bursts out from the womb?" You ever wonder that? Why doesn't the ocean just keep coming in? And what about that tide? How many of you have been along the ocean and seen the tide go in and out? That's pretty cool. "When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come,'" speaking to the ocean, "'no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began? Caused the dawn to know its place that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked have shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld and their uplifted arm is broken.'" I mean, he goes on and on into the depths of his creation, and he's asking Job, "A mere man, who do you think you are? I created all of this and you question me. Well, let me question you, Job." And he's overwhelmed, as he ought to be. And if you want to read all of what is taking place here, take some time. Read through chapter 41, and you will see all the different animals that we can actually look at today, and many that we can't anymore because they are extinct. They no longer walk the earth like they used to. And God is looking at his creation, and he's asking, "Where were you when I made all of this?" And the descriptive detail of Job about all that we are still discovering blows the minds of scientists, because it shows details that we never knew. All we had to do is go to the Word of God. Last week I shared, and the week before I shared, the importance of God's Word as well. I'm not going to go into all of the details. We're just going to move forward here, and I'm going to conclude in just a moment. But I want you to understand that God speaks. There's something powerful about God's creation. I don't know why someone here needed to hear it today. I don't know why I'm doing this. It wasn't meant to be what I just shared with you. I had just a fraction of this information to bring forth. But when you are out in God's creation, something resonates within you. Something that you cannot describe. It's your soul connecting with the God of creation. There are people that are atheists that have something spiritual happening when they see nature before them. They see the deer and the animal, the squirrel and the bird, and they see the flowers, and they look at all of the sunsets and the sunrises, and they are just intrigued, and something moves them from within, and they don't comprehend that it's God. Your soul longs for Him, and your soul resonates with Him when you see creation. When you see the newborn baby, a calf being born, when you see a loved one who knows Jesus die, there are two things that I've said are the most beautiful I've ever experienced. One is the birth of a child, when a created being by God takes his first breath. Something that you just can't put it into words. But the same is so for those that have died to be with Jesus. I can't explain to you how beautiful that is. There's no words. But it's very similar to the birth. God speaks through all of those things that are around us. He speaks through his written word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed. It means God has given it life. He is the one that brought the words to those that wrote them. He is the author of it all. And we can trust his written word. We should follow it. Understand that God speaks through creation. He speaks through his word. But he also speaks through his Holy Spirit. And he will teach you the things that God has said. As John 14 declares. He will remind you the words of Jesus himself and explain the details that you could never have known, because that's what he's doing every day. It's been a strange year for me and Tina, with just a lot of different activities, obviously with our home, but more than that, there's other things that for whatever reason came about, and I shared just a brief little snidbit yesterday that I missed the entire archery season for hunting. That has never happened in my entire life since I was 12 years old. I'm serious. That's a big deal for me. And yet it was, you know, just walk with it, roll with it, whatever. And I had just a little bit of time yesterday to go out with rifle season. And I basically said, Lord, we need meat for the freezer. And I did a little scouting with the girls. I kind of knew an area that I wanted to try. And I basically just prayed, Lord, give me wisdom where to go, how to. And he led me exactly right where I needed to be. And some of you saw that. I ended up dragging this big bodied deer almost a mile. And I use toe straps for a car work pretty good. I told Jason, here's the angle of my body as I was walking for a mile. It's like, I mean, the thing, but you know what? I smiled and grinned from ear to ear because God knew you just don't have time for this, but we're gonna get this thing done. Now, I would like to claim to be an amazing, outstanding, great hunter. Let's move on. I think I do pretty well. I really do. I study it. I know it. I think I do good. But that was not normal. That was supernatural. And I believe with all my heart that God gave me a knowledge and a wisdom and a plan and walked me right to the very spot I needed to be. When that buck circled back and came away from the does he was with and laid down right in front of me. And said, hello, here I am, shoot me. I want to go to your freezer. No, he didn't say that. But that's what happened. Even the most mundane small things, God speaks. He says, go shut off the water for the horses, dummy. And I say, oh, that can't be God. And then I have a lake. But when you're listening, and you say, okay, Lord, I will go there. I will walk that path. God blesses beyond comprehension. He cares about the big things. When you cut your hand with a saw, Right, Dennis? He's with you. When you're dying of cancer, like our brother Rod is really suffering right now. He won't be with us much longer the way things are going. Now, God can turn that around, but maybe he won't. But through it, God is with you. Those are big things. But sometimes it's so small as take a left instead of a right and avoid a fender bender. Are you listening? Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am going to ask the worship team to come up. And just, you know, Dean, if you just want to pick whatever song you want. Hearing God's voice should not be a strange thing. He's speaking all the time. And as we close with a song and a prayer, I encourage you to come forward. Maybe you're a little rusty. Maybe you've never really thought that you could hear God. And you want to make that channel open. Maybe you need to know Jesus as your Savior today. You've never prayed that prayer. I open these altars for you as we close, and everyone, as we dismiss, just, you know, if there's people up here, just honor them to make your fellowship outside or downstairs. But we're going to close this service and allow this altar to be your place to hear God, okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation his empire shall bring. And joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring that we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. A heart of praise, sing now with voices raised to Jesus, sing to the King. For his returning we watch and we pray. We will be ready the dawn of Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring that we belong to Jesus. He is all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. Come, let us sing a song declaring that we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. sing to the King.
Jesus, hallelujah. Lord God, we're so thankful that we can hear you, that we can listen to your voice, that we can walk in faith as you speak to our hearts. And I pray a special blessing on each and every one. I pray, God, that for those that came forward, that you'll minister to them and their needs, that they'll hear you, know you, and understand your plan for their life, Lord. I just pray your blessing upon them. And as we go, Lord, help us as we go into our mission field, that we can be your voice. As we listen and hear you, we can minister to others as you lead us. I pray, God, your anointing to be upon us as your children. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.